Again, remind you that having a fellowship lunch downstairs after the morning service, and you're all welcome. We hope you'll have time to stick around, fellowship a little bit, and enjoy lunch. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, started something last week, finish it today, as far as I'm concerned anyway. Philippians chapter 4. I know that my wife is out of town. She's up in Minnesota with family graduations and all that, you see. And she's been communicating with other people, some of you here in this room, through text and phone call, and telling you how much fun she's having. So when she gets home, we'll have to have a talk. I mean, you know, she doesn't seem to be having that much fun. Sorry, I had to get that out. Okay. We're in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read more verses than I talk about. In fact, I'll center on two verses, perhaps one mostly. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. If you're not there, I'll give you a moment. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, a short word of prayer, and we'll go through this. Thank you, Father. Again, thank you for this day. What a nice day. And thank you again also that's already been prayed for the moisture. We needed it so much. We're grateful this morning, Father, but nothing comes close in gratitude to thanking you for sending your Son to save us from our sins. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, in verse 6, you just read through it with me or saw me read it or followed along. In verse 6, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the saints at Philippi, Paul charged the Christians at Philippi not to worry about anything. Life problems, church problems, personal problems, financial problems, health problems, any and all problems. Don't worry, Paul says. Don't worry. Rather than waste time worrying, believers are to be praying. That also is in verse 6. These three different Greek words used expressing some kind of prayer. Believers should be praying. And after you pray, that's not the end of it. That is when you look to God to see if he has given you any practical matters for you to do. And if you're praying for something, maybe there's some practical things that you can actually do. So you're trusting the Lord, you're doing these practical things. Again, I think some folks mistake. Some people think that it's just all about doing, and other people think once they prayed, they're done. No, once you've done your praying, you're trusting the Lord, is there anything I can do on a practical level? Lord, what could I do? Is there anything? Maybe not. I think it goes along with something. I know you can see this in a different light, but as the 17th century English general and statesman, Oliver Cromwell, and if you read his history, you get some different opinions, not all good by any means, but Oliver Cromwell stated, "Put your trust in God, my boys, and keep your powder dry." You're praying, you're trusting God, but is there something we got to do on our end here, Lord, that you can use us for? You know, worry connects us with our insecurities and fears. On the other hand, prayer connects us with God. In the 1930s, someone coined the term worry warts. You've heard that, maybe. And they were talking about people who are prone to anxiety. And you know, of course, that we Christians should not be worrywarts, because for us that is a sin, showing a lack of confidence in God. And what a poor testimony to the world if we're worried about things and express that to people. You know, it's bad enough if you're doing it, but when you let it be known, you know, the world says, well, no different than me. I guess knowing Christ as Savior isn't that big a deal after all. They're worried just like I am. So anyway, we are not to be worrywarts. We're to trust our Lord. If we refuse anxiety, choosing instead to trust God, and we pray as verse 6 admonishes us to do, what's the result? The result is we find in verse 7, peace of God. That's the result. I'm not worrying. I'm praying. I'm trusting God. What? I have peace. I have peace. Peace of God. And we'll talk about that for just a minute this morning. If I look around and see your faces, if I see a hungry look, I will speed things up. How's that? But here's the problem. I don't always recognize a hungry look, so I might mistake it for some other kind of look. The peace, verse 7, and the peace of God. That's what you get. All right, I'm not worried. I'm praying, Lord. I'm trusting you. Yeah, you know, I'm not perfect. I'll fall back, go back and forth, and God forgive me. But the more I pray and trust you, the more peace I have. Now, I guess I feel I should say this. This divine peace that we're talking about here in verse 7 does not mean that if you pray, God will give you everything you ask for, as if God practiced a peace at any price philosophy with his people. God doesn't do that. Does he want you to have peace? Yeah, he offers it to you, but not at any price. He's not going to give in to your whims and things like that just to keep you in a state of peace, so to speak. God is no appeaser or man pleaser. No, he is not. His love for us, and he certainly loves us dearly, and how he does, I don't know. But his love for us does not lessen his zeal for the truth. He's not going to compromise the truth in his love for us. And sometimes people want that. They kind of want God to appease them, make them happy. And that's how they think they'll have peace. You know, in my many years of ministry, I have watched countenances in the congregation change when the Bible says something and then I preach it or teach it. When the Bible says something that people don't want to hear, and I'm giving it out here, even though it's from the Word of God, I have watched people's their facial expressions change, just, I mean, dramatically change at that moment. Their facial expression goes from, I love you, brother, to lynch the beggar. You know, that's kind of how I would put it. I mean, they're not happy with me at that moment. And all I've done is told the truth. You see, a lot of people think, God loves me. Well, yes. But good night. You think he's going to compromise the truth? Your salvation is based on truth. You want that compromised. When you pray, you are seeking God's sovereign will. That's what you're really seeking. That's what it says in 1 John 5. And it's not anything like rubbing Aladdin's lamp to get your own will. It's not like that. Now, you have concerns, you bring them to God. Lord, I have this and that and this. But eventually, ultimately, what you're after is what's your decision, Lord. Not just what I want. I'm a sinner, after all. And a lot of my wants are wrong-headed. And I have no sense of time as far as eternity goes and what will matter most in 6 months. A lot of things I would have done in my life if God had given me a full head of steam would have caused terrible results. If God had said, well, okay, that's what you want, I'm going to give it to you. Well, I'm thankful he didn't. Now, the peace of God You pray, you trust God, you get this worry stuff, it'll come back at you, but you turn it over to him, you thank him for Jesus. The peace of God is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't say, I'll learn enough, I'll get it. No, it doesn't work that way. I hope you learn all you can. The peace of God is a gift. It is a fruit grown in believers by the Holy Spirit, whom the Father and Son sent to us to help us. In fact, the ESV translates paraclete, the Greek word for, we use for the Holy Spirit, as helper. You know the verse, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What comes next? Peace. And, of course, the list goes on. But what is this peace? Now, some people expand it. I've never read anybody that contracted it. But basically, this peace is a calm serenity that, in a finite way, looks like the serenity that God himself enjoys. It's something like that. It's the peace of God that he's giving to you as a gift. But you're a finite creature. You can only take so much. How do I know that it is the kind of peace that God himself enjoys in some way? How do I know that? Well, I know it because the Son of God incarnate said so. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. He's the Son of God. That kind of peace is what God wants us to have. That's very difficult for us, I know. Because we start falling back into worry and anxiety and all kinds of things because, our future is unsure and our past is haunting us or whatever. In John 14, 27, after Jesus told his disciples, I'm giving you my peace. After he said that, in the same verse, he continued to say, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. The point is, the world does offer a kind of peace to people. The world does offer an uncertain, if you will, kind of peace based on what? Well, based mainly on circumstances. And those circumstances are propped up by religion or pop psychology or philosophy or some other house of cards. Whereas God's peace is based on and in Jesus Christ. What a difference. But the world does have this kind of peace. They'll offer all kinds of things to people to keep them mollified, I guess. God's peace is not some kind of warm and fuzzy feeling, but it's grounded in his word, in truth, the Bible. And what does the Bible point to, especially the New Testament, but the Old also? It points to faith in Jesus who lived and died and rose again to pay our sin debt, to save our souls, and to give us peace of mind in this chaotic world. And it is a chaotic world, if you haven't noticed. You can't help but notice. You have noticed, right? If you say, well, I help it. I can help it. I haven't noticed. As a Christian, someone who knows Christ as Savior. That's what that means. Some people, they can't, what's a Christian? He's a guy who shows up at church. No, he's not. A lot of people show up at church. They're not Christians. I know Christ as my Savior, and I know that I can have peace of mind no matter my circumstances. Now, do I always have it? No. But I can. I could. And that's saying a whole lot in the world we live in today. With my wife out of town, when she's home, we usually watch a little bit of news every evening, two or three different channels. And we stop when she has to pick me up off the floor. I can't take any more, you see. But she's gone, and I just haven't turned it on. I thought, I think I'll take a 10-day break from And the news, I mean, I watch some channels, I think they're halfway trustworthy. Okay, you want to know what they are, and I'm not telling you. No. Okay, I'll tell you. Yeah, right. I watch a little bit of Fox. I watch One American News, and I listen to a thing on the radio. I say, well, that really sounds like you're a conservative. You got it.
Yeah.
That is what I am. I don't want to. You want the truth.
Yes.
That's, you know, what can I say? You want truth. You don't want a love that's all mushy and gooey and. You want to love based on truth, and that's what God gives us. And you know, when I have watched people in the group get, you can see their face. They, you know, they're really upset. Maybe they're people I've known, and but I've crossed a line with them, and sometimes we never see them again. I didn't mean to. I don't. It hurts. I mean, it's not like I'm glad. It hurts. But the truth does hurt, right? It often hurts. Now, okay. Peace of mind. I can have peace of mind as a Christian. Now, this does not mean that I passively accept everything that comes my way without protest or performance. Because I do protest at times and I do things. I perform. Now, let's just say the only option after prayer that God gives me is to sit on my hands. If that's the only option God seems to have left open for me after I prayed, well, then so be it. So be it. If he gives me something practical, I want to do it, but I'll trust him. I say that because I think there are too many soft saints in the world sitting around when God has work for them to do. They're just sitting around. You know, I prayed. Well, is there anything God would have you do after that? All right. You pray. You try not to worry. You trust God. You catch yourself worrying. Lord, forgive me. And the peace of God comes. And notice it says in verse 7, this peace of God surpasses all understanding. A writer by the name of Lynn Coick. I think it's a lady, but some men have the name Lynn, don't they? Don't some men have the first name Lynn? You're no help. I think so. I know a guy with the first name Lynn. Yeah, that's why I knew that. You know a guy named Lynn, Ted?
Lynn Chamberlain.
Okay. All right. Good. But I think this is a lady. After I've said all that, right? Lynn Coick wrote this: God's peace has no earthly parallel and often defies explanation because it is unrelated to external circumstances. It's not related to what's going on in your life or your church or whatever. Now, I have to say the obvious, that living as sinners in a fallen world, as all of us do, we do experience pain and grief and disappointment. All of these things hurt us. They all affect us. But even in these things, we can maintain serenity of mind, which is given to us by God the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that he gives. And he wants us to have it. And nobody can stop him from giving it, except you can stop from receiving it by, you know, worrying and, no, this, I can't trust God, and, you know, prayer's going to get me nowhere, and that kind of thing that some people go through. Now, the Christians at Philippi, to whom this letter was originally written, they had their share of troubles and sadness. We talked about a little about that last week, and we didn't want to repeat it today. But Paul tells them and us that those troubles, those things that cause sadness, they need not sink you. They need not drive you to despair. You can turn to God in prayer and trust and experience that peace that he gives you. I'll call you brothers and sisters, okay? If you're offended by that, my apology. Well, not really. We can be bloodied and bruised in this world and yet not lose our joy and peace in Christ, which surpasses all understanding. We don't have to give that up. I'm not saying we don't get hurt. I'm saying that we can maintain a peace that God gives us. The writer says it surpasses all understanding. In a sense, God's peace cannot be comprehended by human reason, nor can it in any way be matched by it. The world cannot give you this. I just finished reading a fairly long article on Friedrich Nietzsche, and he told us we could have peace of mind if we just don't believe there is God, and we go out and realize we created ourselves and just live like that. And he said, you'll have peace. That's the kind of stuff the world offers. Nietzsche spent the last 10 years of his life in an asylum, for mental problems. I'm not saying that all philosophers do that, but he did. Now, this peace surpasses understanding. Can people who do not know Christ, can they see me? Let's just say us. I don't want to keep talking about me, referring to myself. Can they know when you and I are calm in the midst of chaos? That it's because of our religion. Can they know that? Of course they can. Oh, he's a Christian, you know. He's going through this. He hasn't lost his head, but, you know, it's his religion. They can see that. But not being themselves in Christ, they have no real grasp. They have this outsider look, you know. And that's what it's talking about here. They can't really see it from the inside. They say, oh, yeah, you got religion. We understand why you can go through this trouble and keep your head up. I want to say this at this point. I think it fits. There are people who suffer serious anxiety problems, and they require medication. I have family and friends that fall into that category. They require medication. Now, if you are not someone who needs medication, fine, but if you are someone who needs medication, by all means, get it and take it and thank God for it. I thank God for doctors, don't you? I do. Or any medicine that helps us. If you do not need medication, then thank God that you have peace of mind during trying times. So in both cases, we thank God. Thank you, Lord, that I have access to this medication. It helps keep me halfway sane. There's a tendency, I'm sorry to use an overworked phrase, but there's always a tendency to throw the baby out with the bathwater in different scenarios. We should not do so. We should let the truth speak for itself, not jump to conclusions. Well, we're moving right along. I don't have a lot more to say, except the final phrase in verse 7 says, "We'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, if you are outside of Christ, you're not a genuine believer. Say, I go to church. I don't care. That's nice. Wonderful. But unless you know Christ as Savior, if you're outside of Christ, not a genuine believer, then you have to understand you are on your own. You are left to your own and the world's devices. That's all you have, because you're not in touch with God. You've rejected his Son as your Savior. You're not in Christ. And the world does have its, I don't know, they're more than placebos, because some people find them sufficient. But that's what you're left to if you won't have Christ. That's it. We'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Greek word translated, you know, we've stayed away from Greek words for the most part. You can thank me later for that. Some people, it turns them off, but the New Testament's written in Koine Greek. Say what you will. The Greek word translated will guard, phrurese. It can be understood. Guard is fine, but it can also be understood as protect or keep. And my favorite is provide security. I like that. God will guard our hearts and minds and keep us free from anxiety and fear and distress. And he does that from the inside. The Holy Spirit inside of every believer wants to grow that so it comes from the inside out. It's not some outside philosophy the world gave me and, oh yeah, I believe that and it really helps. God works in our hearts and our heads to keep us from panic and despair. Now, on my modest home, on the modest house, I guess I should say, that I call home, I have attached a number of inexpensive security lights, solar powered. Isn't that that's magnificent, don't you think? No cords, no power, no, just put them up, screw. I've attached a number of inexpensive solar powered security lights on my house, and thanks to my wife, I have a Ring doorbell at the front door, well, just at the front door. You know what those are. I do because she told me. That's why I know. Now, if you think that means I have security issues, well, maybe I do and maybe I don't. Let me give you a little bit of explanation. When people approach my door at night, and I live out in West Laramie, and there's, you know, it's pretty dark. And when people approach my door after dark, those lights automatically pop on for movement, and people can see their way to my front door. And as far as that doorbell, that alerts me that someone is at my front door when I'm at the end of our 70-foot mobile home typing, because that's where I have to type. That's the only place I could find to put the computer in the printer. If any of you have lived in a mobile home, you know what I'm talking about, a single mobile home. They're not very big. I mean, there's not a lot of room. And you know books come first, so everything else gets pushed. My wife, poor thing, God bless her. When someone approaches my door, I am notified on my phone by a certain sound. It makes a sound. Hey, somebody's at your front door, and it says that. Now, my wife, Kathy, she's pretty, you folks know, I think she's pretty electronically with it, right? Okay, I'm going to tell her you didn't agree. Yeah. When I see her, I say, oh, they don't believe you got it. But she is. And she can actually, on her phone, she can see who's at the door. And I cannot, because I just think it's too complicated. It is for me. It's just too, I just am not good at that stuff. It's just too complicated. And, you know, can I just say this now? Please don't. We're going to go down for fellowship. Don't offer to help me on this. It's just too painful and I don't want help. That's just the truth. And if you say, well, it's so simple, but that's what they always say. Oh, it's so simple. Oh, wait a minute. No, not that. I've been through this. Oh, wait, no, I got to go here. No, that's not quite it. Over here. And then down here. And pretty soon, you know, after that, I'm lost, man. I know if I'd have grown up with computers like you, I would have been in the know. But I didn't. I still remember the abacus we used at school. No, it wasn't quite that bad, but you think so, right? That's how he sounds. Well, external security or no, I'm thankful that God provides me internal security in Christ. No matter what happens, I can have serenity of mind, just as Isaiah 26:3, which Ted read out a few minutes ago, just as it says, "I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." That's the KJV model. I can have that. My thoughts and emotions can be kept in check by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's God's promise. So instead of panic, I can pray. Instead of fretting myself, I can fall back on faith in Christ. And instead of looking for worldly solutions that always turn out to be partial and temporal, I can turn to God for peace of mind, and so can you. The key to all this, the last two words, make it three, in Christ Jesus. He's the key. If he's your Savior, the door is open for peace of mind from God. If he is not your Savior, the door is closed, and you are on your own, and you're left to your own devices and the world's. It's just that simple, and that's the truth. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for each person here this morning. Looking forward to fellowship. And we'll thank you right now, Lord, for the food we're going to enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we're ready, Shauna, just invite people to help themselves, okay?